What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Leadership Mastermind. I have return guest Brandy Curry, new guest Allison Strickland, return facilitator Adam Halpern, and we were talking about athletic trainer-owned businesses here during National Athletic Training Month, just different opportunities for athletic trainers to grow. So Brandy is really focused in on leadership and just all the different aspects of leadership and athletic training and leadership education and athletic training. And then Allison has a whole plethora of businesses that she's been a part of starting, running, owning, leaving, or whatever it is. And so Allison's going to talk about those. Adam's going to, again, add in his business-minded athletic training aspect as we continue to talk about how we as a profession can grow in athletic training. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/leadership mastermind. And just real quick, my son, Jonah, is joining us today. He is hanging out right next to me because school was canceled because of all the smoke in our area. But they finally put those fires out. So, Jonah, thanks for joining me today. And then we'll get right to it. So, Allison, I wanted to start with you. Since you have not been on yet, why don't you tell us what your athletic trainer story is?
So, I've been certified since 2010. And I was basically a traditional high school athletic trainer for a couple years. I went to be a graduate assistant down in Tyler, Texas for a couple years. And then I moved back to Illinois, where I'm from, and was the head athletic trainer at Bartlett High School until 2014. My husband is also an athletic trainer, and we met when we were in grad school down in Texas. And he moved us to Iowa City, Iowa, 6 weeks before we got married in 2014. He works as an orthopedic technician and supply chain manager at a large orthopedic practice here in Iowa City. And then at that time, I was hired by Impact Applications. So I worked for them for about 3 years. And so after that, I worked for a startup that makes assistive nurse call systems for very critical ICU patients that cannot speak, or they might be intubated or paralyzed. So I worked for them in their marketing customer support departments for about a year, and then transitioned to where I'm at now, which is Integrated DNA Technologies, and I work in their Salesforce department. So IDT, for short, makes custom DNA oligonucleotides. So very different from anything I've done before. I've been there since about July. So learning a lot about chemistry and different things that I haven't really had to do before. But a big piece of that is my own side businesses. So my husband and I are getting ready to launch in the next month or so a orthopedic soft goods website, e-commerce site called Brace Outfitters. So we're going to be offering just traditional, you know, knee braces, ankle braces, wrist braces, plus some cold therapies, you know, game readies, things like that. So the website hasn't launched yet. We're hoping to launch it in the next couple weeks, once we get all the sales tax certifications back from our state. That's basically what's holding us up right now. But a part of that is that we're going to be working with schools and offering CEUs to athletic trainers through our website. So be on the lookout for that from us. Another business that I've been involved in more on the continuing ed side is with a group called EVP Central. And what EVP Central does is it helps athletic training organizations offer their content online. So it's very time consuming to host and apply for all of your credits, and then plus have someone manage the back end for you on the website, because a lot of the different paperwork that's involved with working with the BOC, managing all of that. I mean, we have to keep our paperwork for like 7 years. So what EVP Central does is it helps organizations get their content online and help them bring money back into their organization. With you know, continuing ed, you know, there's many online options, but many of them are for profit. And what EBP Central does is it helps put those dollars back in your state organization's pockets, instead of, you know, sending it out to a corporate organization. And so it's really helping those organizations who, frankly, have been losing money the past, you know, few years, just because it's expensive to travel, it's expensive to get hotels. A lot of young professionals would prefer to do their CEUs online on their own time. And e-learning is just really becoming, you know, the way of the future, unless you're doing a hands-on type course. So if you're interested in looking at that, you can check it out at ebpcentral.com. Indiana is the first state that we launched about a month ago. So you can check them out at iata.ebpcentral.com. Check out all their courses. They have their whole fall meeting up on their website right now, so you can get all of that information there. My other business is my personal business, which is Shayhawk Solutions, named after my toddler. So what I offer on that website is really helping organizations hone in on their brand messaging, clarify their message. But a lot of it is copywriting, content creation. I do website design, and you can check out my portfolio on that website, which is shayhawksolutions.com.
Okay, so I got two things. One, what are you going to do if you have a second kid? Are you going to have to start another business? And then
it's coming. The second kid is on the way.
I'm actually 31 weeks pregnant right now.
Oh, well, congratulations. Congratulations. And so the other thing is, I actually was giving out CEUs for listening to the podcast, and then the whole NATA change, or not the BOC change. Everybody on the thing, and I still screwed that up. The BOC change and the CEU requirements. And so it is a lot more difficult, and everything has to be approved. And I agree with the change, and it improves the quality and the reputability of the CEUs. But it was extremely difficult, and it was prohibitive for me to continue to do that. And so it may be something that, you know, we work together in the future, or, you know, I just, as we were talking about yesterday, the consultant, that I pay you as a consultant to help me figure out how we're going to do this. But that is definitely a difficult thing. So I'm interested in learning more about how you guys are helping simplify
and,
that there. So.
And it's challenging. When I was at Impact Applications and we were first going through our first EBP process, you know, we had to go through it several times, and it was brand new. I mean, no one really knew what they were doing back then. But, you know, after a while, I've done dozens of them. You just get it kind of down to a science, and you know what they're looking for, just to get, you know, EBPs pushed through. And then I've worked with several other organizations as well, so just outside of athletic training. So I've applied for credits for almost every physical therapy board that's out there, which is even more of a challenge. We're actually very lucky in that we only tend to have to apply for BOC approved credits. The state of Texas is a little special, but as you know, and so with physical therapy, often you have to apply for each state individually. They each have their own bodies, and some of them are as simple as you fill out a single sheet of paper and then they are good with you. And some of them are almost like applying for an EBP credit. So it varies state to state. And then I've also had occupational therapy courses approved. And then the biggest project I was a part of was getting what's called ACCME approved, which is getting approved for physicians. And that was almost a 2-year process of getting, it's a blanket approval for your courses, and you go through interviews, and it's a challenge, and it's very expensive to do.
Very good. All right, so we're going to continue talking about those throughout the course of the interview, but Brandy, you could check out most of her story on episode 474, where we were talking about goal setting with John Seco during our leadership series. But Brandy, why don't you give us a overview here of your athletic trainer story?
Not quite as diverse, I guess, as Allison's, but After I graduated from the University of North Dakota, I moved to Arizona and worked as a high school athletic trainer for a number of years there. Being all my family was in North Dakota, when we started having children, it was time to move back. So I worked here for a high school for a number of years and then started doing some adjunct teaching that eventually led to full-time teaching in an athletic training program here at the University of Mary. Kind of realized that I really like that teaching component and being able to add value to people in a different way than I was used to with athletic training. So I really sort of dove into that leadership component, spent some time getting some extra certifications in leadership from John Maxwell and a couple other courses as well. And now that's sort of what I do. I still teach. I'm still a full-time teacher, but my personal business is that leadership and development consulting. I really focus on personal growth with people. I think, like in what Allison demonstrated, we focus a lot on our professional skills and our clinical skills in terms of what we're doing for CEUs. And I think sometimes we miss that personal component and how can we just ourselves be better. So my personal business is a lot of consulting and leadership courses in that content.
As we've been building out what we're building regarding that personal development, we're finding that the term mastermind is not that popular within the profession of athletic training. And when I mean popular, just well known. So maybe give the listeners a really good understanding of how masterminds are beneficial, what they do for the individual, and how they're really utilized in other professions.
Okay, so in our courses, it's very much you sit, you listen, and somebody tells you some content, and then you figure out how you are going to apply to that. Mastermind is different. It is a community of people coming together with this synergy of wanting to help each other, person talking and giving information. It's everybody working together. The other added benefit of mastermind groups is there's really a team of people then that are holding you accountable. How many of us have gone to a course and said, oh man, that's some really great information. And then you get home from the course and you get busy and you sort of forget to implement the things that you learned. Well, mastermind, yeah, I think most of us have. Masterminding is different. It helps keep us accountable to that. You every week or every month are helping implement what we've talked about today in the next month. And then you come back and you go, okay, this is how I did it. And this is what I learned. And this is what I took away from it. And this is what didn't work. This is what did work. And you hear those other stories as well. And it just keeps elevating that conversation and growing together. Napoleon Hill coined the term mastermind in his book, Think and Grow Rich. And I'm just going to look up here because his definition of mastermind is the best that I've heard. But it's just a group of people working together synergistically for a common goal to get whatever that might be.
Yeah. So, Brandy, as you say that, it can also be like an athletic training department can do a mastermind together. It doesn't have to be individuals all over the country.
It doesn't. I think the whole concept is to just get people together, working together differently. We all go to our faculty meetings or our team meetings or, you know, meetings that we have in our businesses. And it seems like it's very much agenda oriented. And here's the thing we need to talk about. And let's talk about this. And then the meeting's over. Masterminds are different. There is no true set agenda. The conversation and the content flows based upon what you're experiencing right now in your life that you want to talk about, based on what someone else is bringing to the table. And it's not so structured. I mean, there's guidance within it. I mean, I'm trained in leading a mastermind, so I'm trained in keeping people focused on what we need to be focused on. But it's very much free flowing and allowed to grow and move as it needs to.
So we've all worked in athletic departments in some capacity, and some of us have been individual if we're at the high school. What would be some recommendations and suggestions you would give to some of the listeners that are now kind of tapping into this idea of a mastermind, maybe with coaches, with a principal or an athletic director, or even other athletic trainers within their school district, if they're all trying to make a difference, trying to make a change, but they don't know how to start? Like, what would be some of those suggestions for them?
Find a group, find some people that you can just pull together. And you mentioned coaches, athletic directors, bring everybody that you think would be relevant to the table. I encourage this to everybody, not just my athletic training clients, but everyone should have this inner circle of people that they just go to. And it's not just I call when I need something, but you are intentional about spending your time together, learning and growing. And you make those, you know, the third Thursday of every month, we meet, we discuss, we talk, we help each other. I listened to the podcast yesterday, and Jeremy was talking a little bit about sometimes the isolation that occurs in the secondary school. And this is a tool that should be utilized. Often in those secondary schools, you are by yourself, and that can feel a little bit alone, but it doesn't have to be. You can have that circle of people that you are working with. I guarantee that there's a lot of athletic trainers that are going through similar situations that you, as you, or have gone through, who can offer something or maybe bring a different perspective to the table. And we need to start tapping into that. That is truly and honestly in my work where I see the most growth occurring in people.
Is it important to have a facilitator of that discussion that is, like, you know, one position removed, or they're unbiased? Because sometimes we've all been in these conversations and the emotions start to run high.
Yeah.
That is, well, the facilitator beneficial.
I think that that's important. Having somebody who can help you keep those emotions in check. Otherwise you tend to divert off maybe too much, and you don't get that focus that you need to. So, I mean, like I said, I am trained in this, but having somebody whose role in this is to be the point person to keep you in check. Okay, great. Let's get back to what we were working on. Because, and turn on social media for 10 seconds and you'll see it. So often things can turn into venting or ranting sessions, and that is not productive. You need somebody to kind of help. Okay, this is not what this is about. Let's talk about the actual experience, what actually happened, what we learned, and how we can grow from it.
And to kind of play off of that, even if you're more in a space where you are maybe starting your own business, you know, don't be afraid to bounce off and ask for help from people. Don't feel like you have to figure it out all by yourself. My husband and I, when we started looking into having our own brace business, what we were finding was we just didn't know that much about the financial side of it, working with sales tax, state to state, everything like that. And so we joined a small business startup in our community. We live by the University of Iowa, and they have a great program, a small business accelerator. And it's just been immensely helpful because we can talk to experts and people that have already done it. There's no reason why we should be, you know, struggling when the answers are out there.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that 100%. I don't think we, and I think sometimes this is a trap that people fall into, think that they need to just figure everything out on their own and just know it. And that is completely unrealistic, and it isn't functional. We all have our strengths and our things that we're good at, and we should be spending our time focusing on those things and allow people to help us in the areas that aren't our strengths. I don't understand all the tax laws, but I know Marissa does. She's my tax, my financial advisor. I call her up. I'm not going to try and pretend I know all of that information.
Yeah, Allison, what I was going to ask you is your experience within, we'll call it the corporate setting, more structured business entities. And maybe they're not called masterminds, but maybe they're called, you know, working groups within a project. Is there a correlation between what you're seeing in the corporate world and how the masterminds might be effective for the athletic training
community? Oh, absolutely. Even at my regular job, every Tuesday we have what's called Concept Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And if we think something could be done better, we just, you know, if someone has a mock-up of something and they just want to throw it up on the wall and see if it sticks, you know, we'll talk about it. Every Wednesday we have another meeting that we called Speed Dating. And it's more of a collaboration where everyone in our department comes together and someone might show off what they're working on. And it's a good growth tool for other people because, you know, I may not be working on, say, you know, a web development side, but something that the web developers are working on could directly affect what I'm doing day to day. And it might be interesting for me to learn about it and learn what goes into the back end of it. And so those have been immensely powerful just in personal growth, but plus like fostering a sense of community and collaboration between the teams when you know, you may be, you know, just sticking your head in the sand and working on, you know, your projects versus, you know, working with other people.
Mm-hmm. And if I could speak a little bit more to that, I think the other thing that that does, it allows and creates a safe place for that thinking. So when Allison goes to those meetings, she knows that every idea is going to be heard. Every idea is going to be looked at. There is not going to be any judgment. No one's going to be laughing like, what the heck? She knows that it really is a place for a safe place for those ideas to come out and grow. And I think in some places, people are looking for that because they don't always feel that where they're at. They don't always feel that safety to speak to new ideas or to be creative or to be innovative in moving things forward.
No, that's good. Within like what we're building, and we talk about leadership all the time, some of the feedback we're getting, and you talk about it all the time, Brandy, is someone might not feel that they are a leader or they don't want to lead. So maybe give a little bit of the distinction between what leadership is and then personal development and how we are all leaders.
John Maxwell is my mentor, and his definition of leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. And I say this all the time. If you are in a position where the decisions that you are making and the things that you're doing could potentially influence another person, you are leading. I think there's still some really antiquated ideas of leadership out there, and that the leader is the guy in the corner office who makes all the decisions. And that is not leadership. Leadership can come from whenever and wherever within a structure. It doesn't have to be that person in the corner office with the biggest paycheck. And we need to start recognizing that. The other misconception that's out there is leaders are born. And I get so frustrated with that because there is nothing in their DNA structure that makes them a leader. It's the fact that they have wanted to, and they have been intentional about trying to develop the skills and the tools that are necessary to make them good at what they do. So anyone really can be a leader, but it is going to, you can't just say, I'm going to be a leader today. It is, you have to be intentional about knowing and wanting and working to developing those skills, communication, being able to listen and understand well with other people. John Maxwell also say leaders are listeners and leaders are learners. And those are two big things that are really important. If you are the smartest person in the group of people that you are hanging around with, it's time for a new group of people. You need to constantly be setting yourself up for opportunities to learn new things.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't mention this before, but a big reason why I was not at that MedTech startup very long, I was only there 9 months between being at Impact and where I'm at now, is because the leadership was so bad that I made the decision to leave about 6 months after I was there. And it ended up being a good decision because they're about to liquidate. So, you know, it's, if you're not finding that the leadership where you're at is good, don't feel like you have to be stuck in that situation and stick it out, because life is too short. I took a pay cut to get out of that situation. So don't feel like you have to put up with that, especially if you don't see opportunities for organizational change that can be effective. You know, you don't have to stick around and put up with that.
And I think recognizing too that not every one person is going to have all of the skills and tools that, you know, like if you closed your eyes and envisioned this perfect leader. But being a leader is also recognizing what I am good at and playing to that, and then recognizing what I'm not and bringing people in. And if you look at this screen, this is the main team behind Innovate Athletic Training. Each one of us brings something different to the table. None of us can do it by ourselves. And that's an important thing to recognize as a leader. Who do I need to help round this out, do the things that I just know I can't do?
Yeah, as both of you guys are talking, there's a stigma, you know, around weakness or showing that we're not strong enough to deal with, you know, difficult situations. So to Allison's point, if leadership isn't what you want it to be and it's impacting your day-to-day job and your day-to-day life, it's looking at, well, where do I go? How do I get out of it? And, you know, to kind of give the NATA a plug, they have AT's care. So yes, therefore, if there's a traumatic accident and there's a suicide or there's a death, but there could be a resource for the athletic trainer just to call and vent to someone that they feel, hey, I'm not in a good situation. Maybe they're not giving them a new job and they're not referring them to one of their colleagues for a new opportunity. But I think us as athletic trainers need to stop being in the shadows and complaining about what is wrong and try to find solutions. And we're trying to find solutions, but also there's a whole entity within our national association that's focused on, you know, personal health and well-being for the athletic trainer. So I think that's just a plug for them that if someone is really difficult, like in a challenging situation that's affecting them emotionally, like use the resources that we already have in front of us.
Mm-hmm. And I think you hit on something really important too. And it's not just athletic trainers, it's a lot of professions, but I struggle to understand this. I don't know why we as people feel that we are stuck in crappy situations. I don't know why we as people feel that we have to always work the long hours for the low pay and do the things we don't like to do. I don't know why we don't recognize our value as more than that, and where that missing confidence or whatever it might be needs to come from to allow us to step up and say, hey, no, I am worth more than this and I can make a change for the better.
So maybe like we'll talk about a leadership question for both Brandy and Allison. I'll let you both answer it. Like you both started your own business and there's a couple businesses within that description. If we compare the personal development and the leadership component, what was it that just allowed both of you to just take that leap? Like what was that tipping point or what was the final decision? Because there's listeners that are, you know, questioning, do I jump all in? Do I put one toe in? When do I do it? So kind of just give them a little bit of insight, you know, in leadership to help them move forward in their career. Allison, you go first.
I'm a big believer that your skills are valuable and you shouldn't undervalue what you know. And, you know, I'll go back to my husband and I's brace thing. You know, we know braces, we know modalities. But we, you know, don't necessarily know, you know, e-commerce necessarily, and everything we needed to kind of get it going and worked with the vendors. But I'm a big believer that everything is figure outable. There's no reason why if you are unsure, why you shouldn't keep moving forward because, oh, this got too hard. I don't know what this is anymore. Being able to be the bigger person to reach out and ask for help. And then also being able to, you know, spend the time to actually do the work. You know, my husband and I work, we both have normal jobs and we're hustling, you know, late at night after the kid goes to bed and we're working, you know, during nap times and on weekends and we're making a lot of sacrifices. But, you know, when you look at it as a long play versus a short-term win and you have a goal in mind, you know, it makes it that much more effective when you're able to, you know, see that goal that you have for yourself and just keep working towards it. Because if we stopped every time something got hard, we would never keep going. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why we would have the businesses that we have today. Mm-hmm. And I think another big piece of that too is if you are interested in something and you want to learn how to do it, you really need to jump all in and invest that time into it. You know, I have other athletic trainers reach out to me because I do know a lot about project management and Lean Sigma, stuff like that. It's just stuff that I've naturally learned on the job. And like, well, how do I learn how to do this? How do I get into this? I'm like, well, you have to invest the time and the money into it. And, you know, often I hear, well, it's so expensive. You know, if that's what you want for yourself, you know, you may have to, you know, pick up a part-time job or, you know, hustle or drive Uber on the weekends. You know, if you want those things for yourself, you have to invest in yourself. And, you know, we've put, you know, thousands of dollars into being able to, you know, create the businesses and life that we want for ourselves, but that didn't come without a lot of work and without putting in the money. It's not going to just fall into your lap. You know, I don't work a traditional job anymore. I stay on PRN with a local PT group and I fill in, you know, for maternity leaves and people on vacation. But, you know, it's, you know, if you want those things for yourself, you've just got to jump in and do it. You know, I pick up those jobs because that helps me move my other businesses forward.
Mm-hmm. Brandy?
I think to piggyback off what she said, jump and grow your wings. We'll spend a lot of time thinking, if I can just figure this out, then I'll be ready. But then it's the next thing that I need to figure out, and then I'll be ready. And then it's the next thing I need to figure out, and then I'll be ready. And soon you'll find you're never going to be ready. So you just have to jump and figure it out as you go. There is no way you are ever going to know everything. And there's no way you're going to know what you don't know until you jump into it. And you just, if it's what you want, if it's what your heart is calling you to, jump and figure it out. And don't expect to know everything, but know how to network. The other thing is, and I've talked about this before, some people write out these very detailed plans, like I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And then what happens when that plan falls apart? Everything else falls apart. So I tell people sometimes the best plan is just one single step. Like, what is the one thing you can do right now? Okay, do it. And then once you've got that, what's the next thing? Okay, do it and just keep moving and taking steps forward. Otherwise, it just, you'll never jump. You'll just sit there waiting for the right time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all of us on here are parents, right? Didn't come in and ask me this yesterday. I'm thinking about having kids. When's the right time? And I was like, oh gosh, there's never a right time. And well, how do I get myself ready? You're never going to be ready. Like, if you want kids, you just go for it, because
yeah, unfortunately we missed the last part because your internet connection is kind of spotty, but we heard the
kids. Yeah, I noticed I'm freezing every now and again. It's because I'm in the dungeon down here in my office space, but yeah.
But to both of your points, the entrepreneurial journey is not easy. It's difficult. So I think if there's a listener and they're debating, do they want to jump into doing their own thing, or do they want to be part of a bigger project? Just know that it's going to be challenging along the way. I've always said that short-term struggles versus long-term freedom, and whichever one is important to you, that's what you got to kind of gravitate towards and be successful in whatever makes you happy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where we're really trying to help the individual athletic trainer who's a person identify what they want to do. We've been talking lately that, you know, if we create these masterminds or these opportunities to talk with us as a leadership team, and there's always the grass is greener on the other side component, that there might be an athletic trainer that's in the traditional setting from a high school to a college, and they have this idea of they want to go and they want to start their own business in their community and they want to be free. But when they talk with, we'll just say Brandy, and they start talking about personal passion and they're risk adverse and they like the idea of having a 401k and a pension, that if they leave that and they go start their own thing, they might not be happy. But in turn, what that can create is that athletic trainer goes back to that traditional setting with a clear mind, a clear conscience, like, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be. Now, how can I make it better? And then how can I use the additional tools that are out there to improve the job setting, improve the relationships with other coworkers, administrators, coaches, whoever it may be. So yes, the three of us are talking about like owning a business and being on your own, but that doesn't mean you can't have personal freedom within an employment setting as well. So maybe Brandy, just talk about some of the experiences you've had with some of other clients that have tested the waters, maybe not in athletic training, but then they realize, hey, I'm home and I need to make my home better.
That's a big part of what I do with people, is getting them to take some time to be reflective about what it is they really want. Because a lot of times people don't know. They think they want what the other person has, but they don't really understand what the other person has. And they don't see all of that. And so it's, and with some of my clients, it's, we find at the end of the conversations that they want what they have right now with just a few tweaks. And then that's what we focus on, is those few tweaks, those few things. You know, my husband is a really good example. He was just offered a promotion at work, but he really likes what he does and he was going to turn down the promotion. And I looked at him and I said, why? What if you can have both? What if you can and still do some of the things that you want? And he's like, well, they would never agree to that. And I'm like, let them tell you no. Don't tell yourself no. And so he did. When he called them back on Monday and he said, well, here's what I'm thinking. They're like, oh, that's an interesting idea. I think we can make that work. We'll get back to you later this week. That would have never been an option if he didn't have that conversation. So sometimes it's, you can have what you want. We just need to find exactly what that is and then make a few tweaks with things.
Yeah. Anything to add, Allison?
Kind of to spin off of that. So athletic training is kind of my family business. My brother and his wife are actually both athletic trainers as well. And they're a little bit younger than me. They're about 5 years behind me. And so, you know, they decided that, you know, with them, similar story to my husband and I, it just wasn't going to work with both of us being athletic trainers and wanting to have the family life and everything like that. You know, when we were in Texas, we were both working, you know, 60 to 70 hours a week. Like that was never going to be sustainable for both of us to be able to have a family. And so, you know, we worked to make the life that we wanted happen. And that took moving. Maybe that's what that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And so what my brother and his wife did were they, you know, similar situation, working a lot of hours at high schools, and bouncing around and having an unpredictable schedule. And so they just started networking and figuring out what they wanted to do, and an opportunity just kind of fell in their lap. So they actually run a vision and vestibular clinic for people who have had very traumatic brain injuries or strokes, and they do rehab programs on normal 9 to 5 hours. They both work there together as a team. And, you know, they just really used the network that they had, and the organization wasn't even looking to hire anybody. They went in and just said, hey, we really think what you're doing is cool. You know, here's what we could maybe offer you. And they hired both of them. They thought maybe they were just going to hire one of them. So.
Not really
cool. I had a client just this week, just to share her story. She was just offered a job, a standard every single day. Well, that's at 8:30. So she's like, I can't take this job because this job starts at 8. And I said, how do you know? Ask them. And so I just said, tell them that this is a non-negotiable for you and this is what you would like and can they make it work? And if they want you for this job, they'll, like, I get to drop my kids off at school every day at 8:30 and I'm to work by 8:45, and they were okay with it.
Nice. There was, Jeff Conan said yesterday that the concept of like balance, I don't want to say he doesn't agree with it, but he thinks it's more of a blended concept now, mm-hmm. that lives are just so blended, and with technology and how the economy and the business sector is changing just how lives are run. This is kind of to Allison, because you have so many businesses you're working on, either as an owner or just a supporter, you know, being an adjunct, you know, resource to them, kind of give the audience just a little bit of insight into how you're blending those opportunities with your personal life. And you've talked about how you've had to kind of cut corners and work late hours, but give a little bit more insight into how you're doing that.
Sure. So I think, especially if you have a family life, that it's important to keep them involved. You know, if I have a project that I have a deadline on, you know, I might pick up my son from daycare and we come home and, you know, I might just throw something in the Instant Pot so it's cooking itself. And then, you know, I try to make the family time and work time blend together in a way that's fun for him. So, you know, he has his little chair right next to mine and I'm saying, okay, we're going to work now. And he will sit and color right next to me while I'm working. And so, you know, I think it's important that we, especially as mothers, but also, you know, if you, you know, have a family or you're, you know, just off on your own and you're still single, that you take those things that are important to you. And if you have, you know, a lot of hours, you make them work in a way that is good for you and your family. So for me, that looks like involving my son in what I'm doing. You know, maybe for a single person, it's saying, you know, hey, during this time, I'm going to go use my school's treadmill and I'm going to go run for 30 minutes and shower in the locker room. And I'm going to close the office during that hour so I can get this done. because that's what's important to me is, you know, maintaining health. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, say, oh, I have to be in the office all the time. I have to do this, this, and this. Back when I was at the high schools, I decided I wanted to get in better shape. So while football was practicing, I would just walk around the track. I wouldn't just sit on my gator. I decided I wanted to be in better shape. And so that's what I did. Or, you know, if some team was coming in on a Saturday, I would lift with them if I didn't have any treatments to do. So there's ways that you can make your personal goals and your family goals work for you. You just have to be a little more creative.
So actually, let me jump in there real quick. I was listening to Pat Flynn, and he had Dana, I forget her last name, but she's Boss Mom. And one of the things that she was talking about on there was that you can teach your kids about the process. So, you know, just finding ways to be helpful. You know, like before, Jonah's been here and he's switched the camera for me on a podcast. Or if I'm at home, I'm like, hey, I'm working on post. Is there something you can do to be helpful? Because I'm, you know, creating this business, creating this opportunity for you. So just like you're saying, they don't have to be separate. You just blend them. Like, all right, buddy, sit right next to me in color while I'm typing up this if you have a question. Or, you know, okay, will you work on your homework and I'm work on mine. We'll be right here if you have a question, or if I have a question, then we'll work on it together. And it's something that I think it was last week that I heard it, and it's just like I can blend these things. I don't have to say, no, I can't talk to you, son, I'm working on this. It's like, yeah, come here, come type this word for me. Or, you know, hey, can you find a picture on the internet for me of this, that kind of thing. And so if you're willing to be flexible and, you know, make those small increments of time, I think blending those things works really well. But again, I feel that what Allison just said is if you take that time and say, this is what's important and this is what I need to get done, how am I going to make them work together? You can really do that instead of trying to keep them separate. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let Brandy probably dive into this a little bit deeper, but there is something to be said about A, setting boundaries, and then having, I'll call it alone time, but it's more so letting people know when you're available. Mm-hmm. So, you know, teachers, professors, you have office hours. Well, if an athletic trainer says, I'm unavailable during this time because I'm doing something that's important to me, and it can be running, or it's doing paperwork, or it's doing treatment logs, whatever the case may be, I think athletic trainers just in their nature have this mindset of I'm always available. And that actually is a downfall to our profession, because we can't always be available. Because when you start to have families and spouses and friendships and personal travel plans, like, it's just impossible to do everything at once. So there's probably some more, you know, deeper information that you can provide on that.
And I mean, I agree with you. I don't use the word balance either. I don't like that word.
We're losing you, Brandy.
Do you have any other points about that, Jeremy? Have you been listening to any other podcasts or other talks that talk about balance, individual time that you can relate with the athletic training community in a traditional setting?
No, I do want to ask, I know Allison and Brandy have done a lot of work together. And so that's kind of where I want to go to next, is just how they've been working together. I do bring my kids up with me, like we have Saturday games and that kind of thing. And so just allowing them to be part of what I do rather than keeping those two things completely separate. I'm not a teacher that takes work home. I have never once taken papers home to grade, but that's just me personally. So if I can't get it done up here, I'm not going to get it done. But
just real quick about that, Jeremy, you have listeners that are athletic trainers across the country, you know, in a variety of settings. We all know there's some athletic trainers that don't feel comfortable bringing their kids to school, right? They're intimidated. They feel that administration might be unhappy with that. So kind of give your listeners an insight into how you created that opportunity for your family to be at your work site.
I've never really been a person that was afraid to do my own thing. So I was just, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring my kids up. I'm going to have them involved. And then if somebody tells me no, then I'm going to have them explain to me why I can't. And then I'm going to kind of tell them why I can. And so bringing them up to games, it was just one of those things, you know, like I might have them at a varsity soccer game on the sidelines with me. Yes, I'm going to be slightly distracted. You know, I'm watching, taking care of my kids as well, but I can still take care of the game. I can still do what I have to do. And the kids know that I'm there, and my kids are excited to for daddy to go to work rather than like, now I hate daddy's work because I never get to see him. Well, now I get to go with daddy, and it's an adventure, and I'm getting to see what he does, and I get to tell people about it. And, you know, my kids now sometimes pretend to be athletic trainers or, you know, taking care of injuries, that kind of thing, because they've seen what I do. And so it was never like a conversation, hey, can I bring my kids to work? It's like, all right, well, I got a Saturday soccer game. Come on, you guys are going with me. We're giving mom a break. And there, you know, before we had kids, pretty much Sarah never really came up, but it was because whenever I was at work late, it was her time to, you know, watch a show, to get some work done, to rest, to read a book, whatever it was. And it worked out well for us, because then I was kind of doing my thing, she was kind of doing hers, and when I get home, we're hanging out. I don't know, does that answer your question?
No, it does. I mean, we talk about, and Brandy talks about, the crucial conversations component all the time. Did you have that conversation with your administration around the fact that you want to bring your kids, or I'm just going to bring my kids and it doesn't matter what you say because I'm going to do it? I mean, what was your conversation around that? Or did you do it and ask for forgiveness later?
Definitely more of the, I'm going to do this, and then if you have a problem with it, you can talk to me about it. But also, you know, I've had almost all of our admin has brought their kids to games, you know, and they may not be the same age as mine, but you know, I don't feel like in any way I need to ask permission if I'm seeing you do it. And so I think that was kind of like, I want them to be there. They want to be there. It gives us a break. I'm just going to do it because that's kind of my personality. And then I've seen my leadership do it, so I'm assuming it's okay. And then, you know, obviously they've seen me there with the kids there, and they, you know, talk to the kids, interact with the kids, and we talk about family life and those kind of things as well. So for me personally, I just do it. And then if they tell me no, then I'll figure out a way to work around that. Kind of like we were talking about yesterday, is you just, as an entrepreneur, you just figure out, or as Allison said, how did you say it? Figure out a bull. Is that what you said, Allison?
Cool. Now go back to the question that you were trying to ask. All right. Brandy.
So Brandy, you're back. Allison, I'm gonna start with you. You guys have done a lot of work together. When I asked y'all to be on this podcast, you're like, hey, yeah, we work together a lot. We've done a lot of things together. So discuss how you guys are working together. Again, we've talked about Allison's story, Brandy's story, and all the different things you're involved in, but what are you guys doing together, and especially what are you doing together to improve athletic training?
Adam is kind of the mastermind behind Innovate AT, but he brought us in to kind of each work in our own special niches. Our profession is very much focused on growing the profession, and I think we're missing the mark that we can't grow as a profession until we grow as professionals. And Create Together is this environment where we are all growing and becoming better. I heard an expression not too long ago that I just love. Instead of counting CEUs, make CEUs count. And that's what we're trying to develop, is CEUs that, not another toolbox in your clinical skills, but a toolbox in your skills that make you better.
And I'll throw it back. I mean, I remember many years ago, I don't know how many people remember the Star Tracks program, if anyone tried to do that. And it was just frustrating for me at the time, because all the program was basically a list of resources, and you basically filled out a book report for each one once you had that done. And, you know, there was really no individual guidance or one-on-one time with anyone that was particularly helpful, especially as at the time when I was going through it, you know, trying to find my way as a young professional. And trying to work my way up. And when I was in Illinois, I was secretary of the Illinois Athletic Trainers Association, and, you know, really trying to get into being a leader and being more involved with our profession. And, you know, there was a lot of roadblocks to that were really frustrating. And a lot of it, I think, is just one, making room at the table for young professionals and respecting the concerns that they have. And two, also mentoring them. And, you know, everyone has different learning styles and different ways to do different things. You know, it was a big eye-opener for me when I first went to grad school, because all of my professors in school all learn, they all went to the same college, they all learned from the same person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and they just kind of all hired each other, and there wasn't a lot of outside information that was coming in. And so when I first, you know, got really out into the real world, it was eye-opening to me that, hey, there's another way to do this. This isn't the only way I can do this. So being able to even just bounce off, you know, other young professionals and work through your problems together is just very invaluable. So
I agree with what Allison said. So much of what we see is you learn from who you learn from, and you just keep passing down what you've learned. And sometimes it's, okay, but is there another way? Or is there a better way? And can we talk about those things? And can we bring different perspectives into our world? And I think that's really important. And I'm just, I love North Dakota. I love where I live, but we are a very small state. And it is incredibly hard to get different varieties of people up here to speak to us. So it very much is just this continual cycle of learning from each other. And we want to change that. We want to change that so we can expand and continue to grow.
And I mean, we always talk about it internally, and I've said it a couple times on this podcast specifically. The three of us don't know everything. The three of us don't have all the answers. So what we're building is a community around growth and development, that if there's athletic trainers that have another strength, another value add, we want to bring that into the inner circle to help advance the profession, grow the profession, and move it towards, you know, the 21st century. So if anyone's listening and they have ideas that we haven't touched on and they feel they can bring another component, get in touch with any of us for sure.
Anybody have any last thoughts? And then also, how are we going to get a hold of you? So while you think about that, I'm going to go ahead and do my call to action here. So check out the shows live. We've had lots of live interactions over the last few days. There's been plenty of people watching live, questions, things like that. I know David McDonald joined live today, and then, like I said, there's been plenty. So I love when we have questions or interactions on Facebook. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Facebook or facebook.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast. So check those out. And there's actually been times where people have saved my butt because like the camera was off or the audio was making some sort of sound. So when you're on there live, you can not just hear, but you can interact, and you can also help improve the sports medicine broadcast. So, all right, let's start with Brandy. Final parting thoughts and way to contact you.
Contact me at brandy@brandycurry.com. Brandy is B-R-A-N-D-Y. Curry is C-U-R-R-I-E.
All right, Allison.
Probably the best way to find me is through my website, which is Shay, and that's S-H-E-A, like Shea Butter, hawksolutions.com. I'm also pretty active on the Innovate AT Facebook page if you haven't joined that yet. So just feel free to reach out. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm kind of all over the place. So,
all right. Any parting thoughts about Leadership Mastermind, working together to improve athletic training, those kind of things there?
I'll go back. Everything is figure outable. If you don't know what you're doing, ask.
That's going to be my new tagline.
Yes.
All right, Adam.
Easy. Just adam@innovateat.com. The only thing I'll kind of finish with is reach out to us personally, but also face to face. So if you're in Iowa, reach out to Allison. I mean, if you're in New Mexico, I know everyone. We're a small state. In North Dakota, everyone knows Brandy. But we're going to be going to district meetings. We're going to be going to NATA in Vegas. Like, we want to talk with you. Like, if you have something to say or just an idea, like, it's always awesome to sit down and talk with athletic trainers. We listen. We talk about ideas. We talk about future. And it really is eye-opening for both parties. I posted last week on our Facebook page that I met with some athletic trainers in Durango, and they were like, I didn't even know Innovate AT was even thinking that way. And I said, I didn't even know you guys were thinking that way. So those type of conversations have to happen for the profession to evolve. And fortunately, with technology, we're able to move that faster. Like, you know, to refer to Jeff Conan, him and his colleagues were having these same type of conversations 20 years ago. But we're fortunate that technology is allowing us to deliver it now in a more real-time capacity. So you guys all have good ideas. Just find us personally and let's make a change.
I will be in Tulsa at the end of the month on the 28th through the 30th for the MATA meeting. So find me there. Let's chat.
I'm super pregnant, so I'm not going to anything this year.
Well, congratulations.
And Jeremy, yeah. And Jeremy, to you, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I continue to learn. And kind of what we were talking about, Brandy was saying, you know, there's so much that sometimes I forget to implement. And so again, if you're watching live, you're watching any videos on replay, if I look like I'm looking down all the time, it's because I'm trying to type in show notes, because that's the easiest way for me to go back and remember to add in comments on the post, those kind of things. So it's not that I'm just distracted looking on my phone. It's usually that I'm typing in notes, trying to solidify what I'm learning here through all of this. So I'm going to be at NATA, at the Dragonfly Max Podcast Lounge. I'm sure Frio Hydration will have something there for us to kind of enjoy, or they'll sponsor like a drinks on Frio night or something like that. So check them out. Myotech and Hoist Hydration. Hoist is, of course, going to provide some water there at NATA, but if you want to use the code DSMB, check them out. So for Jeremy Jackson, we're talking about Leadership Mastermind with a leadership mastermind herself, Brandy Curry, a serial entrepreneur in Allison Strickland, and then an ideas guy in Adam Halpern of Innovate AT. If you want to get a hold of them, again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/leadershipmastermind, and that is a wrap. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See ya.